1 Corinthians chapter 6, just continuing on in our lesson here. We've seen the first section there. We've seen why should I give? What is the purpose of giving? We kind of went through that last week. And then this week we're going to be looking at what should I give? What should I give? But we're going to start there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20. It's, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So the first thing we see here, before we consider giving anything, we must remember we ourselves have been purchased by God with Christ's blood, and we belong to Him. We got to remember who we belong to. We got to remember whose ownership. You know, I know there's a lot of professing Christians out there that decide to do what they want to do when they want to do it, and all that kind of good stuff. But if we really look at the Scriptures and what God has to say about it, He says we don't belong to ourselves, so we need to seek out His guidance. We need to seek out His will for our lives. That's why He says you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. That's a big one. If you look at therefore glorify God in your body, that covers a vast subject. And I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this today, but that means doing things that are not right. That means going to the extent of doing things that may not look right. Because the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 22, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's such a place. That's why I don't go in such as places that of gambling or liquor. I mean, I know we can't. We go into grocery stores and Walmart and all these places we shop, and they do have liquor. We have no control over that. But we do have control over going in bars or casinos or any of those kind of establishments. And if we're even caught near them, that's why I don't even park in their parking lots, because I don't want people to drive by and see Larry and think, oh, well, he just came out of the casino when I was never near there. So we get, and it's all about appearance. The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. See, we are to glorify God in our body. And when we're not being obedient to God's word, then we're not glorifying Him. We should be living in such a way that everything points to Christ. It should, our lives should draw others to Christ. But when people see stuff in us that shouldn't be done as Christians, then they have it puts a bad taste in their mouth, and therefore they want nothing to do with church. They want nothing to do with God or Christ. So we need to think about those things, and that's the key, is thinking before we act. Because if we think about things, or if we actually take time to look at things on how they really appear, then we might think twice about doing something that we normally don't think nothing about. It's the same thing as playing cards. I enjoy playing cards. I play, you know, I've never gambled, you know, playing cards. I'm not talking about poker. I'm talking about like pinochle or some of these things. But what is the appearance of it? Whether we're doing anything wrong or not, what is the appearance? See, Paul talks about there in Corinthians about being, you know, in order to witness to these people, he had to, you know, live in such a way that to draw their attention, and then to a different set of people. But we're not to cause younger Christians in the faith, we're not to cause to be a stumbling block to them. So if there's something in our life that some other people might say, well, that's wrong, we may not see nothing wrong with it, so to speak. And it may not be wrong technically, but we need to live in such a way that we're not offending our brother. We need to live in such a way. Remember, we need to glorify God in our bodies, no matter what we're doing. and in your spirit, which are God's. So first of all, we got to remember, before we can figure out what we should give, or what should I give, we need to remember that we ourselves have been purchased by God with Christ's blood. We belong to Him. If you've truly been born again, we belong to Him. Well, the first thing we're going to do, first thing we can give, we're going to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in 4 verse 15. We need to give ourselves wholly to the things of God. Wholly. Now, I'm not speaking H-O-L-Y, wholly. I'm speaking wholly in the fact of W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly. Let's give our all, give ourselves our complete being to the things of God. We see there in verse 15 of chapter 4, it says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and that them that hear thee. When we give ourselves wholly to God, just imagine what God could do if we were truly, each and every one of us, giving our full selves to God, okay? We also see there as we that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditate upon these things. First of all, we have to get in the scriptures. We got to meditate, mull over these truths, but we need to give ourselves wholly to them. We need to be, what's the Bible say? The first two greatest commandments, to love God with all our heart, body, mind, and soul. Okay, I'm paraphrasing, but that's the gist of it. And then second of all, we need to love our neighbors as ourselves. If we can accomplish those two things, if we truly could, what kind of world would we live in? Because we would be more concerned about offending people. And I'm not saying things that offense. I mean, sharing the gospel is offensive. I'm talking about doing wrong towards people. We would be courteous when we run into people. We would be kind. The Bible does, you know, the golden rule is do unto others as you would have done unto yourself. If everybody operated in that fashion, we would live in a whole different world. But because of sin, because of our sinful flesh, because of selfishness, because of the lost state of man, and they can't do anything in and of themselves apart from God, only those who profess to be Christians or who truly are Christians said, I can do all things through Christ. He enables us to do those things. So we need to give ourselves wholly to the things of God. Also, we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 8 and verses 3 through 5, it says, for their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. That's the first step that we have to take. That kind of ties in with Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. That's the least we can do, is give of ourselves. Well, the Corinthians give of themselves, but then we also see in First Corinthians chapter 8, and verse 12, it says, but when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. So again, going back to that point of being offensive to your brother, not, you know, living in such a way that you draw others to Christ. For 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, it says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. It starts with the will. Paul says, I die daily. We need to submit ourselves to Him. And the only way we can do that is if we die daily to our own desire, self, sin, pride. We need to give in to Him. Why? Because, first of all, He purchased us. We need to give ourselves wholly to the things of God. A living sacrifice, as Romans 12 says. And we need to give our all, not just part of us, all of us. But then thirdly, we need to give attendance to the reading of God's word. We need to give attendance to the reading of God's word. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. We're going to go back to like verse 8. It says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all, having having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. That is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to the reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." We need to give attendance to God's word. When God's word's being read, being taught, being preached, we need to give attendance to it. And again, in and of itself, it is offensive to the world. But that doesn't mean we're not supposed to share the truth. That doesn't mean because the gospel is offensive. John 14 and verse 6, it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's also exclusive. It's one way. There's no other way to God but through Christ. And that's offensive to people, because they think there's other ways that we can get. They think there's many roads to one destination, but that's not true according to God's word. According to Christ himself, there is no other way. We need to give attendance to the reading of God's word. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come wherewith we speak?" He says, "Therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard." So we need to give an earnest heed. We need to the things that we've been taught, the things we've been preached to us. We need to give heed to it. That's another way we can give. But in Acts chapter 6, there's another thing we can do to give ourselves continually to prayer. See, the Bible tells us, and I believe it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm not exactly sure which particular verse it is. I'll turn there real quick so we can get that. 1 Thessalonians, and you can keep in Acts chapter 6. But it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, "Pray without ceasing." Pray without ceasing. We to give ourselves continually to prayer. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Well, what this is referring to the disciples. When there was some neglect, oversight of the widows were being neglected in the daily ministration. There were some people complaining because their widows weren't being taken care of. So therefore, the disciples said that we need to pick See here, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost wisdom, and whom we may appoint over this business. This is the first appointment of deacons, which gives the qualifications in 1 Timothy and Titus, which is very similar qualifications as the pastor or the bishop, as it says there in the scriptures. But he says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parnabas, Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Just think, if we will give ourselves continually to prayer, if we would just do that part as Christians, as a body of Christ, as this the body of this church, local church here, just think of the difference it would make. Just think of the difference if we would seriously take time. And I know we pray for each other, but I don't think we pray for each other enough. I know I'm guilty of failing in that department. That's why I say this. But if we would seriously take it serious and pray for each other, how much better would it be when it comes time to making a bad decision? If people are praying for you, I believe the Lord will reach in and help you make a better decision. Would help take care of some needs or protection from any kind of harm. We pray for safe traveling mercies when we go on road trips and different things. If we would seriously take time to pray for each other, pray that God will keep Satan away, put a hedge of protection around our church and keep him from getting in and affecting anybody and tearing us down. We need to give ourselves continually to prayer. But then we go back, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which is one of my favorite verses. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's a hard saying, so to speak. How many times have we had something go wrong, and the last thing out of our mouth was thanks? Sometimes not even at all. But God says, in everything give thanks. That hits home to all of us. When we're having a bad day or somebody else is saying something wrong to us or giving us a hard time or something wasn't going right, we need to simply give thanks for everything. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Especially, we're professing to be Christians, especially when people know that you go to Charity Baptist Church and they know that you're saying that you're a Christian, but yet when something bad happens, what happens? How do you respond to it? Do you respond to it with thanksgiving to God? Or do you say a few choice words? Do you do something you shouldn't do? Do you go off and hit something? I mean, I've seen people do that. I never did understand that because it always hurts. You hit a wall or hit a vehicle or whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change the circumstances. But what it does change when it says, in everything give thanks, it takes our focus off our problems, our situation, and it puts it where? Back on the Lord, where it belongs. And that's the only way that we can give thanks, is because of what he has done for us. That's not easy, but that's what we ought to do. Give thanks for everything. This last one here is really hits home for all of us. Give voluntary of the three resources that God has given you. What are those three resources? Does anybody have an idea? There's three things that God has given us, and we need to voluntarily give of those three resources. Time. Time's the first thing. We need to give of our time. What else? What else has God blessed you with?
Money.
Treasure. That's considered money. It would be possessions. There's one other thing that all of us have, different ones, but God has given to us. What's that?
Talents.
There's three areas that we need to give voluntarily that God has given you, is that give of our time, give of our talent, and give of our treasure. Those three areas affect all aspects of our life. Now, I know times of we only have, 24 hours a day. And 68 hours a week. And we spend how many hours in church a week? 4 hours. So if you were to take 168 and divide it into four, that's about 2% of your week. Think about that for a minute. Now, how much, only each one of you guys know, but how much time do you spend in your Bible per week? That's another question we should ask ourselves. I mean, this is good stuff. This is for myself as well. When I'm pointing at you, I got three fingers pointing back at me. So don't feel like it's just for you. It's for me too. But how much, when we sit down and think about it, how much time do we spend in God's Word? How much time per day do we spend in prayer? The Bible says pray without ceasing. I know that seems impossible, but we can be in the attitude of prayer when we're driving down the road by ourselves. We could be speaking to God. No matter where you're at, you can talk to God. He's opened that access because of what Christ has done for us. How much time have you spent each week? And again, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just giving us something to think about, churn on. How much time each week have you spent trying to be a witness for Christ? How many people have you told about Christ last week or the week before? And I think we allow ourselves, and again, speaking of myself first, we allow ourselves to get so busy that we don't take time to do the things that God wants us to do. See, we allow ourselves to get so busy doing the things we want to do, which really don't mean nothing in eternity. But God's simply asking us to give of our time, our talent, and of our treasure. What? To get rewards in heaven that will last for eternity. When somebody, we have an influence on somebody's life or lives, and they get saved, that's fruit for eternity. There's rewards waiting for that. That's something we got to sit and look at and consider, is what about my life? You know, sit there and examine yourself. Am I doing the things that God wants me to do? Am I taking the time? And again, I continue to look at myself and I fall short. I fall short of the things that God is simply, it's just simple things. How hard is it? We deal with people everywhere we go. How hard is it for us to take a few moments and say, hey, what about the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, or share your testimony of what God has done in your life. Then you can start thinking like, wow, look what he's done in my life. If I look back at the last 7+ years of where God has brought me from until today, I have a lot to be thankful for. I've come a long ways. Yet I got a long ways to go, but I got a long ways. We just got to sit down and think about these things. Remember, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, we're bought with a price. We're bought with a price. We do not belong to ourselves. We belong to God. He purchased us with what? The precious blood of Christ. See, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Without Christ shedding, without his blood being shed on Calvary, we would not be here today. We would not be saved. We would not have a home in heaven secured for us if we've never trusted Christ. But we give our time, and that's a big one. But what about our talent? See, if you don't use a good example in the scriptures, it talks about the three servants that were given talents. One was given one, one was given two, and one was given five. And what did they do with those talents? Well, two of them invested them and one of them buried it. And what happened when he didn't use his talent? It was taken away from him. If we don't use the talent that God has given us, he'll take it away and give it to somebody that will use it. And sometimes we look at that whole situation and we think, oh, that's awful harsh. But how would you, if you were entrusting three people to do, I'm going to give you this much because I trust you this much, I'm going to give you this much because of this, and I give you this much. And you go away expecting them to do something with it. And you come back, and this one, he doubled his money, his talents, and thou good and faithful servant. He doubled his talents, thou good and faithful servant. But this one over here, he just went and buried it because he didn't agree with the master. He didn't agree with him because some people have that attitude that, you know, other people don't deserve what I do for them. You know, and you know something? He said, thou wicked. He was a wicked servant, and he was going to spend an eternity in hell, according to the example. If we fail to do, if we fail to voluntarily give of our talent, God will put us on the shelf. If you're truly one of his, he'll put you on the shelf. And you'll wish from that point on that you wish you'd use what he'd given you. Sometimes we don't use our talents because we're not comfortable with it. Sometimes we don't use our talent because we're scared. Sometimes we don't use our talent, but we're worried about what other people will think about us. But who cares? Who has, again, we're bought with a price. We are not our own. What are we doing with our talents? The last thing is our treasure. You know, everything we have, God has given it to us. I thank God every day for what he's blessed us with. And I've been in lean times where there's not much money. I've been in good times when there's, you know, seems like there's plenty of money. But usually the reason there's plenty of money because maybe the Lord knows there's something coming up that we're going to have to spend some money on that we didn't know about. But that's why it's so important for us to be very frugal and with what God has given us, to be good stewards, to spend it wisely. So that therefore, when something does come along, we can see that, well, this is the reason God blessed us. He's enabled us to pay for these. He's taking care of our needs. He promises that. David says in back all the way back in Psalm, I believe it's Psalm 37. Let's turn to Psalm 37. Verse 25, it says, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. For all his life, he's never, ever seen God's people forsaken. He was young and now I'm old. He says, I've never seen God's people forsaken. So what do we do with our treasure? This whole lesson is dealing with giving. And, you know, we looked at why we should give. We looked at what is the purpose of giving. We've seen today that what should I give? First of all, we must give of ourselves. Why? Because we don't belong to ourselves. We need to give attendance to God's word. We need to take time for that. We need to give earnest heed to what we have heard, you know, what's been taught, what's been preached. We need to give ourselves continually to prayer. That's an area that I think we all lack in. We need to give time, attendance to the reading of God's word, which I looked at. And we need to give thanks for everything, even in the bad times. It seems bad in our lives, but give God thanks for it. It'll take your focus off the problem and put it back on the Lord where it belongs. And it'll enable you to get through that circumstance a little easier. But give voluntary of your time, your talent, and your treasure. The next question is how much should I give? How much should I give? We're just going to barely get started on this, but that's where we're at. we look at the time, the talent, and the treasures, and if we're truly doing what we, and again, I believe truly we all have room for improvement. But if you start doing the figures and putting some numbers to the paper, how much time are we really giving God? 168 hours a week. And how much time of that week do we give to Him? That's for you, between you and the Lord to determine. And the other thing about that is, are we willing? Are we willing to accept the fact that we're not giving Him enough? And are we willing to say, yes, Lord, we'll give You more? Are we willing to do that? But that's between you and the Lord. How much should I give? Let's go to Genesis chapter 14. This is where we first see the principle of giving. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 20. We're going to go back to verse 17. It says, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him. Well, it's actually just a brief, just so we can kind of get up to speed here. Let's go back to verse 1. It said, it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, and Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of Gomorrah, and Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemember, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the Vale of Siddim, and which is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer, the king that were with him, and smote the Rephaims in Ashtaroth, Carnam, and the Zuzims in Ham, and Emims in Shava, and Karathim, and Horites of their Mount Syar unto Elparan, which is by the wilderness. They returned and came to Ameshphat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites and also the Amorites that dwelt in Hazion Tamar. And they went out, the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah and the king of Admah, the king of Zeboim, the king of Bela, the same as Zoar, and they joined battle with them in the Vale of Siddim. When Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Ashtaroth, king of Shinar, and Arioch, the king of Elasar, four kings with five, the Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they remained fled to the mountain. They took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. If we were to go back one more chapter 13, we would see that where Lot and Abram's herdsmen were bickering among themselves because they were getting so large. And Abram at this time, before God changed his name to Abraham, told Lot, there's no reason we should be treating each other this way. He says, we need to part ways. They had so much stuff going on. And they looked, and if you look back at chapter 13 and verse 10, it says, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, which is a representation of the world. And then Abram took what was left, and he went into the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom, and the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. But then there was a war, as we read there in chapter 14, and they took Lot, Abram's son, a brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And it was told Abram, the Hebrew, for in verse 13 of chapter 14, and he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother Eshcol, and brother of Anar. They were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. So he pursued to go back and bring back the stuff and bring back Lot, his nephew. That's who he was. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of the Shava, in verse 17 of chapter 14, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. He blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. This is the first mention of tithes in the scriptures. And the kingdom, the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from the thread even to the shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten and the portion of the men which went with them, Anar, Eshcol, Mamre, and let them take their portion. Does this sound familiar to you? Last week we looked at Naaman, who was the captain of the and he tried to give to Elijah, and Elijah would not take of it. Why? Because he didn't want false accusations given that they had given gifts. Abram, who was right with God, who's living for God, would not take of anything from him except for what the young men had eaten, their portion. But it says he gave him tithes of all. So that's the first mention in Genesis chapter 14. And we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 7, and then we're going to finish for today. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 1. It says, For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, for first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law that is in their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but they receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So he gave a tenth, as we see there in verse 2, of tenth part of all, first being by interpretation, he gave a tenth of everything to Melchizedek. So give tithes. Before the law was instituted, Abraham gave tithes. We've seen that in Genesis chapter 14. This is the first mention, and this also gives us the percentage that we ought to give back to the Lord. So that we're going to leave you with that. We're going to pick up there. There's three areas here that we're going to be dealing with, and four areas, I guess. We're going to how much should I give? We're seeing that now, starting give tithes. We need to give to missions. We need to give to others, those in need. And then the last thing we need to do is give sacrificially. We're going to look at the widow who gave two mites. She gave of all. She gave all that she had. And the Lord, she was blessed more of the Lord than that Pharisee that was given because he was trying to be seen of men. There's a difference. But it says, to whom also Abraham give a tenth part of all. How much should we give? We should give at least a tenth. That's a minimum. So let's pray.